It's time for another programme of Great Tracks and Sidetracks with me, Peter Fleming, broadcasting for the next an hour from the studios in Mahara Place. Well, it's a recorded programme, so I had to adapt it slightly to suit the new thing. So I don't go into a little bit at the beginning of films I've been to see or TV programmes or anything because, well, way out of date by the time you hear this, but it doesn't make any difference otherwise to the programme. It's the same sort of music and it's the same sort of articles that I find in the International Express. So let's get going straight away. That'll just sort of reassure you that the programme is the same as ever. And here's the Bee Gees.
The preacher talked with me and he smiled. Said, come and walk with me, come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life you're alone, but you ain't got a damn. There's no time for the fool. I just gotta get a message to you. If I broke her heart, then won't you tell her I'm sorry? And for once in my life, I'm alone. And I gotta let her know, just in time before I go.
Now I'm crying, but deep down inside, well, I did it to him. Now it's my turn to die.
And there we are, that was the Bee Gees, and of course it was the Bee Gees, and you can hear them many times on this programme, Great Tracks and Sidetracks, because that's that sort of era of music that I tend to play. It's 70s, 80s. Right, let's. The other regular thing I like to do on here is just to give a little bit of a shout out for the Kapiti Food Bank. They're in the Paraparaumu, just over the railway line and turn left, and their building is just a little way along there. So my wife works there on a Wednesday. She's one of the volunteers, and she takes a photograph and sends me the shortage list, which is up on their notice board. It's very similar every week, but it doesn't do any harm to remind you. So if you're in Pack and Save or New World, when you're pushing your shopping trolley around, bear in mind the Kapiti Food Bank, and put some things in your trolley and then pop them in the collection boxes once you've paid for them and after you go through the checkout. So it's the sort of thing that they're pretty low on. Pasta sauce, 2-minute noodles, milk powder, sugar, jam, honey, Vegemite or Marmite. Don't let somebody fight over that. Cereal, oil, cooking oil, Milo and hot chocolate, UHT milk, any kind of little desserts and things, dry spaghetti, and there's muesli bars and meal sauces. So muesli bars, kids back at school, I suppose. That's the sort of thing they're looking for lunch boxes. And then on the more, the sort of thing you'll find the kitchen or the bathroom, toothbrushes, toothpaste, hand wash, laundry powder, laundry liquid, shampoo, conditioner, dishwash liquid, toilet paper, panty pads, liners, oats. Oh, don't know where they came from. and soap and cleaning products. So it's everything that you sort of use day by day in the house. It's not just foodstuffs at the Kapiti Food Bank. It's other things as well. So really, to a large extent, whatever you can afford and you can pop in your shopping basket and put into the boxes after the checkout. Great stuff. Kapiti Food Bank, wonderful local charity to support. And it's next track. It's America, Horse with No Name.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, because there ain't no one. Underground and the perfect disguise above. Under
up in through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Are you a child of the 60s? Were you around in the UK, up in Liverpool area, when the Beatles came to fame? Well, listen to this. Help, we really need someone for Beatles research. This is in the paper, that's the heading. If Penny Lane is in your ears and in your eyes, then scientists want to hear from you, as they use the Beatles as a template to study how sound, sight, touch and smell can all trigger memories. Oh yes, you think, what's all this about? Well, volunteers are being sought for a memory experiment. Researchers are particularly keen to hear from those who saw the Fab Four play live in the Midlands. The team from the University of Wolverhampton said the aim was to deepen understanding of memory from the swinging 60s to the digital age. Professor Sebastian Groos, head of the university's Centre for Transnational and Transcultural Research, said... Sorry, I can't help but laugh on that. Said, we want to understand how growing up in a specific socio-cultural context influences the way people perceive a supposedly universal cultural phenomenon like the Beatles. Alongside advancing research, we hope to offer well-being benefits, particularly for older generations. The live study takes place on February the 8th at the city's Literature Fence. I should say it took place, so you're too late if you want to go. Well, what do you make of all that? That's a load of gobbledygook, isn't it? We want to understand how growing up in a specific socio-cultural context influences the way people perceive a supposedly universal cultural phenomenon like the Beatles. Yes. And they get funding for this, you know. This is the amazing part about it. They must go to somebody and said, I write this little project I'd like to do. And they say, oh, yes. Do you want some money? Yes, please, because I want a load of volunteers. And so what's the idea of this little thing you want to do? Well, we want to understand they're growing up in a specific socio-cultural... Anyway, so I think we could probably manage just enjoying listening to the Beatles without going through all that. I haven't got a Beatles track. I should have had a Beatles track here for you. But I'm sorry. I haven't. I've got Sure.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama had to dance for the money they'd throw. Papa would do whatever he could. Preach a little gospel. Sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. We hear it from the people of the town. They call it gypsies, tramps, and thieves. But every night all the men would come around and lay their money down. Picked up a boy just south of Mobile. Gave him a ride, filled him with a hot meal. I was 16, he was 21. Rode with us to Memphis. Papa would have shot him if he knew what he'd done. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. We hear it from the people of the town. They call it gypsies, tramps, and thieves. But every night all the men would come around and lay their money down. Southern style. 3 months later, I'm a gal in trouble, and I haven't seen him for a while.
wagon of a traveling show. But mama had to dance for the money they throw. Grandpa do whatever he could. Preach a little gospel. Sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Lay the money down. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. We're hearing from the people of the town. They call us gypsies, tramps, and thieves. But every night all the men would come around and lay the money down.
I'm tempted to say that the next article is appropriate because of all the strawberries that are in the shops at the moment, but I think by the time this program goes to air, maybe there won't be any strawberries in the shops. So anyway, you'll have to think back to the fact there were a few weeks ago. High-tech strawberries on sale all year round. This is quite interesting. As award-winning British strawberries are now available in shops all year round thanks to state-of-the-art heated glasshouse technology. So forget your fields and things where you're back-breaking picking strawberries. Berries are grown in Dyson Farmings. This is all part of the Dyson manufacturing and empire. In their 26-acre glasshouse, powered by a unique circular farming system, which allows shoppers to enjoy a taste of summer in midwinter. Winter production is powered by renewable energy from an on-site anaerobic digestion plant, which transforms farm-grown energy crops and glasshouse waste into electricity, heat, and nutrient-rich digestate for fields. The closed-loop system underpins strawberry production across 1.2 million plants, supported by advanced robotics and precision growing technology that deliver 1,250 tons of premium strawberries annually. This is phenomenal, isn't it? A food producer teamed up with Dyson technology engineers to trial vertical growing in the glasshouse. The hybrid system delivers 2.5 times the growing space in the same footprint. Now, there's a photograph here of it. If you can imagine standing on it and you're looking at the end of a long tube, which appears to be, could be 2 or 3 meters diameter. And spaced around that tube, there appear to be about 12 long, long trays of which sort of hang and keep in the same vertical position as these big drums rotate. And so the strawberries are obviously growing these long trays. Yeah, each wheel, it's 10 rows, beg your pardon. Each wheel hosts 10 rows, and by slowly rotating, every plant has access to sunlight at periods through the day, supplemented by LED lights. Well, how about that? So, in fact, it still does use some natural daylight. These things are set up in greenhouses, they're enormously enormous things, and slowly rotate. And of course, yeah, you can pick, the strawberries are picked by robots, and it's all very simple. I tell you what, if you had any of the strawberries this year here in New Zealand, which I don't suppose they were grown in anything like this, they're probably in more natural circumstances, jolly delicious, really, you know, they taste like, tasted like strawberries should taste. Wonderful. It Dire Straits.
Play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen delivery. That's his own hair. The little faggot got his own jet airplane. The little faggot, he's a millionaire. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. Move on, move on. Hawaiian noises, he's banging on the bundles like a chimpanzee. Oh, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Get your money for nothing, get your chicks for free. We got to install microwave oven, custom kitchen delivery. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.
And so to another tale about how hard British pubs are doing it. It just seems to be one thing after another that clobbers the poor old British pub. I don't know how they survive. A few of them do manage to, but they're dreadful statistics all the time. Anyway, well, this is all part of this thing about dry January. You know, the people have these bright ideas about growing moustaches and or whatever for charity. And then for health, you have dry January and there's a dry July as well. Pubs are taking £59 million profit hit thanks to Dry January. That's $110 million. Dry January will hit pub profits to the tune of £59 million, experts say. Each of the estimated 40,000 pubs, so there's still 40,000 pubs in the UK, so there's hope yet, will take around nearly about £1,500 less over the month. That's awful, isn't it? However, just 12% of those over the age of 40 were taking part. So it's your young people, who are stopping drinking alcohol anyway, but there are non-alcoholic drinks coming on the market. So anyway, people over 40, just 12% said they were taking part in Dry January. The rest are going to carry on drinking as normal. Yeah, it's how the pubs survive these days, I don't know, but they do. And, well, jolly good luck to them because they're a British institution. If the government's not clobbering them with tax or rates bills or something, then people aren't drinking. They're very, very hard time. Good luck to you all. And here we are with, Eric Clapton. Here's a little subject that's a bit dear to my heart, and I pick on these when I see them. Articles about vets. Now, I've got nothing against vets. I've just got things about against vets' bills. But this is in the UK, so it's a slightly different circumstances. Vets call for action as pet owners face soaring costs. So here we are. This is the vets saying, hang on, things are getting too expensive. And they're saying there's nothing much they can do about them. Vets are appealing to the government to stop corporations from taking over independent practices, which has resulted in prices soaring by 63% on average in a decade. Clinicians in the field say animal owners are being forced to make heartbreaking decisions to have pets put down because they cannot afford skyrocketing prices for treatment. Tell me about it. And the stress of having to euthanize potentially healthy animals is one factor blamed for suicide rates among vets being four times higher than the national average. That's terrible, isn't it? I mean, well, yes, if you've had a pet and you've had to have it put down, you'll know the trauma and that goes with it. And why shouldn't the vet be feeling equal trauma? It might not be their loved animal, but boy, it's still a living, lovable creature. Six large corporate groups now control 60% of the UK pet care market, and most owners do not have insurance. Well, no, of course they don't. It's jolly expensive. And of course, like all insurance, you end up paying, oh, yeah, what sort of excess do you want? You've probably got $200 or $300 excess, so very rarely manage to claim on your insurance anyway. A Competition and Markets Authority probe found vet bills had jumped by more than two-thirds since 2016, more on average at large vet groups over traditional practices. So there we are. That's right. But you think that these big corporations are taking over. Surely there would be economies of scale. But no, of course, they just get more and more control and apparently charging more. Sad business altogether. Now, here's a chap that I'd love to play every now and again, and I hope you enjoy him as much as I do. It's the late, great Gary Moore and his fantastic track, Still Got the Blues. Mm.
To be so easy to give my heart away, but I found out the hard way there's a price you have to pay. I found out that love was no friend of mine. I should have known. Time after time, so long, it was so long ago, but I've still got the blues for you. Used to be so easy.
That's just mind-blowing, that track, isn't it? Fantastic. Right, surprisingly how many forecasts of what's going to happen in the future don't actually happen. And it seems to be that they're going to be a natural progression of things, but then no, things take a strange turn. This is one about cash. For how long we've been talking about, oh, we won't have cash much longer, it'll all be cards, and you just use your phones and everything. Well, yes, that is happening, and you can, obviously, we know that, you can use your apps on your phones to pay for things rather than even flashing a card at a machine. But in the UK, at least, cash makes a comeback for millions on a budget. And cash is making a comeback as millions of Britons turn to notes and coins to help them budget through the cost of living crisis. Up to 1.5 million people now rely on physical currency as their main method of paying for goods. Cash said that cash remains a really important part of the fabric of the UK. And this isn't just us oldies, you know. This can be people of all ages. Don't blame us every time. This company operates 16,000 cash machines across the country, dispensing around £29 billion of the £76 billion withdrawn last year. So this is money drawn out of ATMs, presumably. Wow. It reveals a startling shift in attitudes following, well, Rachel Reeve, who was the Chancellor of the Exchequer in the UK, since her autumn budget, which clobbered a lot of people, and people found, I don't think I've got as much money to spend as I used to have. The startling figures paint a picture of a nation increasingly squeezed by rising costs, with cash emerging as a vital budgeting tool for families struggling to make ends meet. Not necessarily a lot different to here, of course. The scale of cash usage remains high, with around 5 to 6 million adults using hard currency every single day, while nearly 33 million people say they use it weekly. So you see, there's still a lot of people using cash for whatever reason. My sister, a little bit older than me, when she got married, her husband used to come home and in the very old-fashioned way used to hand his pay packet over to her. And I'm going back to the days when pay packets were pay packets. It was a brown envelope with coins and notes in, and he would hand it over. And she had a cash box with little divisions in it. And so every week, as he gave her the money, and it would be every week as well, she was able to divide that money. Right, that's the rate slot, that's the electrics, that's for clothing, that's for food, that's for, I don't know, probably car, rego and things. Anyway, she had all these areas, and she put a little bit away in each one, and she, on a pretty tight money over the years, she kept that family going very nicely, and that was the way she did it. But yeah, you couldn't have done it very easily perhaps without the cash. It was a great way for her to budget. And once she'd divided that weekly wage into those things, and if she got any left over, well, that was a bonus. If not, though, she knew she'd got everything put away to pay for things. So cash, it's not dead and buried by any means. That's always Jerry and the Pacemakers. Well, if you're a football fan, you might know this one. If you're not, well, you'll still know it.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a stone, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the
walk on, walk on,
There's a bit of a strange article here about Robbie Williams. It says, Robbie's Take That Reunion, and it starts off and says, Robbie Williams has said he will perform with his old boy band, Take That, again, and that he's another six solo albums in the works. Where these people do six solo? How many tracks is that? With the band to revive 2009's The Circus Live tour this summer, Robbie was asked whether he would join it. And the 51-year-old said, would I return to Take That to do the circus again? I did love it last time. I'm sure we will ride again. Though he added, it was not in my plans right now, which rather conflicts with the heading on this, that Robbie's Take That reunion, that he will perform with his own band. So he's obviously not made up his mind yet. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. We just don't know still. But had six albums, and it's incredible how these people churn these things out. How do they think about it? Where do they come from? Let's work and ask Sinead O'Connor that as we play her now.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whomever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing, I said nothing can take away this blues. 'Cause nothing
came across the following rather amusing article that's in the paper, and it's headed, Ascot is Home of Unfaithful. And the affluent racing town Ascot has been named the nation's most unfaithful place, adult data says. Now, I'll go to the end because it said this is something. It was found to be Britain's cheating capital, according to data from adultery website illicitencounters.com. I won't spell that out for you because you shouldn't be using it. Some 6.72, it's not a huge amount, 6.72% of the population of Ascot are said to have had an affair over the past year, with a florist revealing that men regularly buy two bunches of flowers for Valentine's Day. See, that's how they find you out. And it's wealth that is the main reason for cheating in the Berkshire town, said a solicitor, with bad behaviour getting even worse when the famous Royal Ascot races are on each June, locals added. Well, there we are, Britain's cheating capital, Ascot. A friend of mine, his father used to have a pub there. It was a super, very old-fashioned sort of pub called The Cannon, which they used to run in Ascot. Anyway, quite amusing things. whatever next, I think to myself. Now then, this is a track for the end of the programme. I might have a little bit of a word at the end of it, but listen to this because it's very apt and it's very, very beautiful.
Oh,
And the phenomenal Sarah Brightman brings us to the end of yet another edition of Great Tracks and Sidetracks with me, Peter Fleming. Hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been the usual sort of thing. I say it's a recorded program now, so we don't get quite the sort of things typical of topical bits and pieces because they're all out of date by the time you hear them. But the music's the same. It's the stuff we like to listen to. And because it's so good and because I've got a little bit of time in hand, I'm going to just play that last bit of Sarah Brightman again. You can't get enough of it, can you? So it's me, Peter Fleming, saying thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the show, and I will be back as normal in a week's time, whether I'm recorded, alive, or dead. Bye for now.
This programme was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.